In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given Thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. For His sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by Thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, and that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Sexagesima Sunday, is found recorded in the second epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 11, verse 19, and continuing into chapter 12, verse 9, and reads as follows. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings, often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here endeth the epistle lesson. We shall now sing hymn 423. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, and reads as follows. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verses 21 through 29, and reads as follows. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, on the last day, all people who have ever lived will be brought before the throne of judgment and will be divided into two groups. The scriptures declare, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Thus all people are grouped into these two possible categories, sheep or goats, believers or unbelievers. Yes, a person is either a Christian or he's an unbeliever. There's no middle ground. A person cannot partially be a Christian or even mostly be a Christian. He either is one or he is not. Accordingly, Jesus says, He that is not with me is against me. It is important to remember that all people, in their natural condition, are in the exact same group. They are all spiritually blind and dead enemies of God. But through the gracious and powerful work of the Holy Ghost, you and I have been brought into the saving Christian faith. We've been given a new spirit, which is drastically different from the spirit of the world around us. This is the only reason why we know Jesus, trust and believe in him, and rejoice in the gospel, of which the world is completely ignorant. Now, in our text for today, Jesus points out the gross spiritual ignorance of those who reject his word, as well as the dangerous eternal consequences that they bring upon themselves by their unbelief. And thus, Jesus leads us to consider some important differences between unbelievers and Christians. In the first place, we shall see that unbelievers will die in their sins, whereas Christians will die with their sins forgiven. Secondly, unbelievers do not know Christ or accept his word, but we Christians do. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Speaking specifically to the unbelievers in the crowd, Jesus told them that he would be going away and that they would try to find him, but that they would not be able to. We read in the first verse, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Where Jesus was going was heaven, his eternal kingdom of glory. That's where you and I will also go when we die, to live with the Savior in eternal bliss. But again, the Jews to whom Jesus was speaking could not enter into heaven on account of their sins and unbelief. What a chilling sentence of condemnation is spoken here by Christ in this first verse, declaring that those unbelievers would die in their sins. But that didn't seem to disturb them at all. Rather, all they did was focus in on Jesus' statement that he would go somewhere that they could not follow. And they speculated that maybe he was talking about committing suicide. That was the only place that they could think of that he might go that they wouldn't follow, if he would kill himself and go into the grave. Our text says, "Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come." In response to that silly assumption, Jesus set forth the big difference between himself and them, namely, that he is from heaven, and they are of this world. We read, "He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." In stating that he is from heaven above, Jesus not only was declaring his superiority and authority over them as God, but he was also revealing where he was going to go that they could not come, where those unbelieving Jews would not be able to follow. Heaven. But why could they not go to heaven when they died? Did not Jesus also suffer to pay for their sins? Yes, he did. But the unbelievers refuse his grace and forgiveness. They reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thus they deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This is why they do not receive the grace of God, the forgiveness purchased for them by the blood of Christ, but, as Jesus says in our text, die in their sins and receive what the Bible describes as the wages of sin, namely eternal death in hell. Jesus pronounces this sentence of judgment upon them two more times in the next verse of our text, saying, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he," namely the promised Messiah, "ye shall die in your sins." Those words apply to the people around us in the world today. If a person departs this life denying that the Lord Jesus is the Savior, then he will die in his sins and be condemned to everlasting hellfire. And since, as was mentioned earlier, all of us, by nature, are unbelievers, that same condemnation is what you and I deserve as well. But thankfully, the Lord, in his grace and mercy, did not leave us in our sins and unbelief, but brought us to saving faith in the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So, when death comes for us, we will not die in our sins. No, we will die as the holy and righteous saints of God through faith in Jesus. We will not be cast away by God in his wrath, but will be lovingly received by him. Indeed, the scriptures declare, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Now, since it was Jesus' desire for all the Jews, including his most vicious enemies, to come to saving faith in him, he had made it very clear on numerous occasions who he was: the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the light of the world. And yet we notice, as our text continues, that the unbelieving Jews to whom Jesus was speaking acted as if he had never told them, acted as if he was hiding his identity from them. We read, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?" Now, they really were not interested in knowing Jesus as the Messiah, because he was not the kind of Messiah that they wanted. They wanted an earthly king. They had already consistently rejected his testimony. So then Jesus answered their question by simply reminding them of the fact that he had already made it perfectly clear who he was. The problem wasn't that he wasn't being clear. The problem was that they didn't want to accept his clear words. Our text says, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." Yes, Jesus had been consistent in his testimony concerning himself, and they had been consistent in rejecting his words. And in doing so, they were not rejecting the teachings of a mere man, but of God himself. The words of God the Son carry the same authority and power as the word of God the Father. In fact, there is really no difference at all between Jesus' words and the words of God the Father. And this is the point that Jesus makes in the next verse of our text: that his testimony is the very same testimony as the Father's. It comes directly from him. He says, "I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." But so spiritually blinded those people were that our text says they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And so it is today as well, that the clearest expressions of divine truth are unintelligible to the unbelievers. The Bible says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Because they cannot understand his words, they really do not understand who God is. So the unbelieving Jews in our text neither understood Jesus' words, nor understood who Jesus was. But the time will come when all of the unbelievers will acknowledge the deity of Christ, that he is true God. Well, they'll have to acknowledge the truth of everything that he said. When will that happen? On the last day. For these unbelieving Jews, it would come after they had already called for him to be put to death. Our text tells us, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Yes, after they had crucified their Messiah, died in their sins, and are brought before Christ's judgment throne, there would be no way that they could deny his divine authority. The Apostle Paul writes that on the last day, all will be forced to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The revelation of Christ in all his glory on the last day will also bring glory to God the Father. On that day, all people will see Jesus in the fullness of God's glory. No one will be able to deny the existence of Christ. No one will dare to try to stand against him, but all will be forced to bow before him. Now, that does not mean that everyone will become Christians, be brought to saving faith in Christ, and taken to heaven. No, but on that day, the unbelievers will believe in Jesus in the same way that the devils believe in him now, with fear and trembling. Once that last day comes, it'll be too late for the unbelievers to be converted. No, they will simply be judged as guilty on account of their sins and unbelief and cast away from God's gracious presence into the outer darkness of hell. Now, at the time of our text, the unbelieving Jews saw no reason to respect Jesus or to fear his future judgment of them, because their sinful minds regarded his words as foolishness. And their eyes deceived them into thinking that he was only a man. And it is true that during his state of humiliation, he did appear to be an ordinary man. But in the last verse of our text, he informs them of what their eyes did not see, emphasizing his oneness with God the Father, as well as his own divine perfection, saying, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." The fact that Jesus always did those things that were pleasing to his heavenly Father is a crucial part of his redemptive work, which we refer to as his active obedience. As the substitute for all mankind, Jesus perfectly fulfilled all of God's commandments for us, so that his righteousness is credited to us as our own. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "By the obedience of one, namely Christ, shall the many, namely all mankind, be made righteous." As you and I sorrowfully acknowledge our sinful unworthiness before the Lord, what a comfort it is for us to know that the righteousness of Christ has been made our own through faith, and thus cancels all of our guilt. But how is it that you and I trust and rejoice in the gospel while the vast majority of people, like the Jews in our text, regard it as foolishness? Well, that is not at all to our credit, merit, or worthiness. Rather, as was mentioned earlier, faith, our saving faith in Jesus, is a miraculous work of God's grace that he produced in our hearts through the power of the gospel. That very same gospel, which all people by nature regard as foolishness. In the verses that come right after our text, we learn that some of the ones who heard Jesus preaching were in fact brought to saving faith in him. We read, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice how Jesus there promised the believers, as he promises all of us Christians, that if we continue to trust in his word, as his true disciples, we will know his saving truth, and that saving truth will make us free, free from sin and all of its dreadful consequences. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, has purchased for all mankind freedom from the wages of sin by his substitutional work of redemption. He took away all of our guilt, living a sinless life in our place. He suffered all of our punishment, enduring the pains of hell on the cross for us. In Christ, God's justice was satisfied, and our freedom from the curse of the law was secured. The forgiveness of all our sins, eternal life and salvation, has been earned for us by Christ, and it's conveyed to man through the gospel, and then received by man through the faith produced by that very gospel. The Holy Ghost works in our hearts through his word, not only to bring us into the faith, but also to keep us, to preserve us, and strengthen us in that faith. So then, if we desire to continue as the disciples of Christ, as he says in the verses right after our text, we must indeed continue in his word. So that means continuing to come to church every Sunday, where the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and applied directly to our lives. This means continuing to come to Bible classes where our knowledge of God's Word is increased. This means continuing to use the Word of God in our own private study in our homes. And is this not exactly what the loving children of God want to do? Those who have learned to love the Lord Jesus for all that He has done to save them from their sins will also love to hear His voice, to learn His Word. Christians should not need to be forced or coerced to be regular and consistent in attending worship services and Bible classes and reading and studying and meditating upon the Bible in their homes. No, we should gladly take advantage of all those opportunities to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us ever be so thankful that God did not leave us in our natural spiritual ignorance, but graciously converted our hearts through the gospel, causing us to know, accept, and rejoice in Christ Jesus as our Savior from sin, death, and hell. And may we ever show gratitude to God by clinging in love to the Lord who first loved us and gave Himself into death for our redemption. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give Thee but Thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord God, who art gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy, who art good to all and whose tender mercies are over all Thy works, fulfill now the desire of them that call upon Thee and hear the secret prayers that arise in each heart. In thankfulness and humility we bow in spirit before thee, O God, for commending thy love to us in the death of thine only begotten Son, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again on account of our justification. We acknowledge before thee our transgressions. Our sin is ever before thee. Grant us a true understanding of our sinfulness and of our need for repentance. Show us that in Christ thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Save and defend thy church from evil, and grant unto all who serve thee in thy church faithfulness to thy truth, diligence in labors, patience in sufferings, and the blessed hope of eternal life. Especially do we ask thee, O Lord, to help us find men in the congregations of our conference in whose hearts thou hast placed the desire for the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that they may study in our seminary, and that in the years to come, by thy grace and under their guidance and leadership, our congregations may flourish to the glory of thy holy name. Continue to uphold Pastor Leitz in his important work at our sister congregation, Trinity in Oak Park. According to thy good and gracious will, grant him the strength needed to serve thee and thy flock with thy word of truth, that thy name may continue to be hallowed among them. We beseech thy mercy upon all those who are in any kind of distress. We pray especially for our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Help them to know the power of Christ, that they may glory in their infirmities, and cause them to find in him the joy of thy salvation. Comfort them with the gospel. Be with them at all times. Give faith in thy power and mercy, and lead them to see through the power of thy word that thy grace in Christ Jesus is sufficient for any adversity. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, in all wisdom, and help us to receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. We ask this in the name and for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. And in his name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, who through the gospel givest power to the faint and strength to them that have no might, look mercifully, we beseech thee, on our low estate, and cause thy grace to triumph in our weakness, that we may arise and follow in the way of righteousness those who by their faith, through thy grace alone, already have inherited the promises. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 6 of hymn 414.